I'm John Robb, and you're listening to Here Manchester.com, a series of 10 audio portraits exploring the rich and varied history of Manchester, from the towpath of the Rochdale Canal that cuts through the heart of one of the greatest cities in the world. In this series, we're covering all sorts, from industry, poetry, science and the environment. I'm just by Princes Street, just behind the BBC. All around me are apartment blocks that have sprung up to cater for this new breed of urban dwellers, drawn in by the great shopping and nightlife on their doorsteps. From just about anywhere along the Rochdale Canal, you can see Britain's tallest residential building, the mighty Beetham Tower, rising 168 metres into the sky. A little closer to the ground and a lot closer to the canal, property developers like Urban Splash have transformed how we live in the city centre. One of their top people is Nick Johnson, who has joined me as I walk along the canal through the city centre to Castlefield.
Frankly, I'm amazed that we've never really capitalised on it in a way that we perhaps ought to, because it's such a resource, it's so fantastic. I mean, built for the Industrial Revolution, originally to ship the coal from Worsley to feed the machines that fed the Industrial Revolution in the centre of Manchester. There are certain places that have taken real advantage of it. I think, you know, you look at Duke's and you look at certain places in the village where there is a direct relationship between the bars and the restaurants and the canal. But we're on this stretch in Whitworth Street, near close to Whitworth Street, where you've got this fantastic canyon of buildings from the Industrial Revolution. We've got the old Tootles building. And then on the other side, what was St Mary's Hospital? This site was vacant for years and years, and eventually it was developed probably about 7 or 8 years ago for apartments, and then directly in front of us, St James's buildings.
Which is interesting now, because in your developments, which are like about a mile from here, you build that big brand new area, you've actually built a canal, so it's like the canal's turned around from being the backwater or the place that people consider dirty to something people actually really want to live by.
It's symbolic of the way in which industrial cities, post-industrial cities have shifted as well, because, you know, people never used to live in the centre of Manchester, and yet the most desirable buildings for conversion are the old mill buildings with the cast iron columns and the exposed timber floors, all part of the industrial heritage, but for many years considered unusable and workable. And I think the canals had the same stigma, really. But I'm a lifelong canal boater, canal enthusiast. I have a boat, have had a boat ever since I was a kid, and it's they're a real fascination for me, and there's a real therapeutic quality of being next to water, and that's why that people are prepared to pay more. Well, that's quite interesting now, actually, that there is kind of added value for being next to canals. And you're right, we built a new canal in we're going to struggle through this tunnel now to keep together. We built the first new canal in New Islington, which is a major regeneration project on the north side of the city. And the reason that we did that was because we wanted to create a sense of place. And canals and water is a fantastic way of actually creating that sense of place. If you look at Castlefield, I mean, that wasn't done deliberately. That was a product of the need to get goods in to feed the Industrial Revolution. But in actual fact, Castlefield is an amazing place. I know you know it because you go running around there, and it's not only is it a resource for the bars and the restaurants and the people that live there, but people utilise the canal for recreation facilities as well. So, you know, there's loads of things that happen on the canal, and that's one of the reasons why we wanted to build one, and that's been a real privilege, a really exciting proposition.
I'm Flip Boone of the Inspiral Carpets. Manchester is the place I'm from. It's the place that I choose to stay. I've had countless opportunities to move away from it, but always decided that this is where I want to stay for the rest of my life. I don't think that'll ever change. Fortunately, I'm married to a woman who feels the same way about it, so that's good.
Manchester's changed a lot in the last like 20 years, like from the post-industrial period to like a period where it's not much of a creative kind of city. What I'm interested in now is like speaking to somebody who's a young creative who's living in the city and what the city's like to live in now. So I'm with Natalie Curtis, a local photographer, who's done pictures of the canal.
Yes, I did. The bit of the canal at the end of Deansgate, there's lots going on. It's a lot smaller than London, and some people might see that as a bad thing, but I think it's good because you get to know people and find out what's getting on, and it's easier to get involved with stuff.
there's a certain image of Manchester which was fixed with what your dad was doing in his music years ago with Joy Division. That, and do you think that's kind of what that kind of Manchester is really completely different now?
I think it has changed a lot. I mean, it's not as miserable looking as it was, but then it probably hasn't changed in the fact that it's still quite small and easy to get to know people and do stuff.
In a visual way, as a photographer, do you see the city like looking very, very different, especially in context to the canal, which is quite weird to say that here, because that looks the same as it did 100 years ago, doesn't it? What about the buildings along here? Were these buildings particularly photogenic?
I really like looking at the light and the water and the way the water moves. I find that quite hypnotic, really. Everyone moans about the rain, but from the point of view of being a photographer, I think Manchester looks best in the rain because the pavements are all shiny and it looks more glamorous in photos when it's been raining.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic, isn't it? And the sky, look at the sky, it's beautiful.
I think it's the sort of city that, I mean, I didn't move far, I'm only from Macclesfield, but I know other people who've moved here from further afield, and I think it's an easy city to move to from elsewhere because everyone's so friendly and there's lots going on.
It's not always so friendly. If I go east this way, past Canal Street, on the towpath, then I end up at the grounds of Manchester City. And if I go this way, to the west, and down through the Castlefield Basin, then I get to Old Trafford and the home of Man United. For many people, living in the city means pretty much one thing. You're a red or a blue. I'm a tangerine, but that's a different story.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would identify Manchester with football. That and Coronation Street, I suppose, would be the two things that spring to mind for most Londoners anyway.
The football team's everything. Without the football team, you haven't got Manchester.
It's very important, yeah. I support City. Well, it's just a team that you support, isn't it? It's a big city, two teams. So, usually it's the other team that's winning everything.
One of the most interesting things about Manchester is its patchwork of international communities which contribute to the flavour of the city and its arts. One of these communities is the Chinese. And now here in the Chinese Arts Centre, here with Yin Kwok, discuss the Chinese and the Chinese arts community.
A lot of the situation for the Chinese people when they migrate to a foreign country is like when they have one relative or someone they know from a foreign country and they make an initial contact, or they would feel like in case something happened, they can have someone to contact. I think London and also the Southern Coast was the very beginning when Chinese people start to move to England, and later on, it started to develop to the northwest. And in Manchester, it's such a city, it's like the Chinatown was very much located right in the center of the city. And the city size, the size of the city center is not that big. So when the Chinatown started to develop, and the landscape, how they develop, it's like a square, it's like a little town. So that's why it's so dominant. And when new people want to move to England, and they research around, it's like where the Chinatown would be like in a good location and where would be easier to start their business, especially related to catering. So Manchester come up like a first choice.
Chinatown in Manchester is fantastic, and I argue you're not a proper city unless you've got a Chinatown.
Chinatown have been located in England, whatever, which Chinatown in which city, they have a long history of development. You can trace back into two or three generations ago, which is like back to early 19th century. It's already Chinese people living there. So like all from all that time, they were so much merged or absorbed some culture. They have a lot of influence from local UK culture, whatever the food, and also the way how to run the business. So it's very much a special Chinese identity all over in the world. You won't exactly find it in China, but it is also a kind of Chinese identity which is only available in UK, I would say.
City living has really caught on over the past 10 years, and there's loads to do if you decide, like I have, to make the centre of Manchester your home. If you've enjoyed this programme, why not venture further along the Rochdale Canal? Discover more portraits of our magnificent city at heremanchester.com.